So this is part two of the symbolism, spiritual symbolism and significance of sexuality, Patrick Guide Lecture 207. What I've tried to do in the past hour is to go through the different levels that human beings function on: physical, emotional, mental, will or ego, and spirit. Now, I haven't gone a lot into spirit, but I wanted to give you an idea of this triangle, because it's a very useful matrix. Towards the end, I was talking about negativity and how negativities come to the surface in the sexual current, in the flow of sexual energy. Negativities appear in all aspects of our lives. But when they appear in areas that have less urgency, that are easier to resist acting upon, they may be able to stay contained. Both the positive and the negative aspect of sexuality is that it is irresistible. So because we have this basic ongoing urgency to express ourselves on a sexual level, either physically or emotionally or energetically, we are not fully able to contain those negativities. And that's a positive. Negativities are never fun. It's never good to see your bad habits. It's never good to realize, when I say it's never good, it is uncomfortable to come face to face with your own discrepancies. It is uncomfortable to realize that you have been hypocritical or unfair. It is distressing to realize that there is cruelty in you. In areas in your life where you are not compelled to act, where there's not this strong current and force, you might be able to dodge seeing those moments. You might be able to stay contained and controlled. But the blessing of sexuality is that we're not quite able to control and contain it. And what that means is that who you are will manifest in your sexuality. I want to take a second here and define how I'm addressing sexuality. When I give workshops, I tease, I hope this comes across the way I mean it to on tape. When I talk about sexuality, I'm not talking about genital sexuality. Genital sexuality, the touching, the act of force, the technical and technique aspects of relationship are, relatively speaking, so far down the line from this. When I speak of sexuality, I speak of it in the terms the guide speaks of in Lecture 44, The Forces of Love, Sex, and the Eros. And that is that sexuality is the life force itself. Yes, it manifests in a procreative way. Yes, it manifests in a way that tends to center around activities that create babies. But it is more than that. And people who do not have a sexual outlet, a genital sexual outlet, will take that same force and they can sublimate it into their work, into the passion of being an architect, into the passion of being an artist. They can sublimate it into the passion of taking care of their family. So if you see a single parent who has tons and tons of energy and is taking care of a huge family, possibly intergenerational, one of the places that person can get that energy is the sexual force itself. It can manifest with a partner, but it can also manifest on many, many, many other levels of human activity. But you can identify this force because it is so strong and so irresistible. It is a good portion of what our compulsions and our the impulses that we just can't seem to resist. This is the life force in us the one, the part of us that wants to know, that wants to touch, that wants to feel, that wants to examine. And sexuality is one current of this huge life force. And when we cannot get our needs met on a sexual, human sexual level, then we may decide or may be able to get our needs met in a wider arena. And we will use that same energy. So when I speak of sexuality, I'm talking about the life force driving us to express ourselves, to be known by others, to feel comfortable and confident in the world, standing on our own 2 feet, being a human being. And also driving us to reach spirit. So if what human sexuality represents is the total fusion that is actually the reality of being in spirit, then so are the other aspects of human experience that mimic this, that allow us to feel part of our community, part of our species, part of our family. And in the giving and taking, the same thing that happens in sexual congress, in the giving and receiving of ourselves, we can give and receive of ourselves in the world to other people on many, many other layers. So I invite you to consider this lecture as an allegory of how human beings begin to access the real world of spirit that this planet we're living on, as the guide presents it, I shouldn't say that, as I present it, I should own up to that, as I present the lectures, that as I present the lectures, we as humans on this planet are an allegory for everything that is in spirit. We are here to accomplish something, and we all have different tasks. The guide mentions this in this lecture by saying that in fulfilling your sexuality, you are actually performing a spiritual task. I'm going to pause at this point and find out if there's any questions. And if you silence yourself, you'll have to star 6 for me to hear you. So, okay. So, what I've been building is the idea that sexuality exists on many, many levels of our human existence, that we have contained our sexual urges over the millennium as a civilization, because when it moves forward and it brings stuff up with it, we didn't know how to handle it. And that part of the sexual revolution that specifically may be occurring in Western countries, so I want to be very careful here because not all cultures are in the same place doing the same thing. And just because a wide spectrum of countries or cultures are in one facet of self-development does not mean that another group of cultures is not in a different level. It doesn't, just like an individual, it doesn't make them wrong. And I'm trying to be inclusive here because we are all working with the same raw material. We're all working with a desire to be, a desire to self-actualize, a desire to be in the world, a desire to be with other people, to be seen and to see other people. And so this is the, I'm trying to give this an overview. This is sexuality in general. So when the phrase is used that man is a sexual being, that's how I understand that phrase, that mankind is a sexual being in the sense that we have this energy and we want to move it and we want to see it and enjoy it, and we have found many, many different levels to exercise this energy on. So if I shift for a second, when we talk about these negativities, the lecture speaks at one point of how the personality where these negativities come from on a sexual level, that the personality, when they are frustrated or unable to make things work to their satisfaction, will then start to force or push or substitute. And that this takes a small hindrance and makes it a bigger hindrance. It turns it into a blockage. So the personality, the mind, the will, ego level, when it feels that it's not getting what it wants, and it wants more and it can't seem to do it, that's when the ego will marshal forces and attempt to force push or substitute something else to achieve a sense of satisfaction, either on a physical, or an emotional, or mental level. You can even force things on a spiritual level. That when this is done, when the personality or ego mind does this, what it actually does is it splits off the sexual identity from the being, from the larger being. So when we cannot get the relationship that we want, so we try harder, and we try to make ourselves, for instance, fit the picture of what people seem to want, but that's not us. Then if we wind up meeting someone, the person they are meeting is not the real us. It's a mask that we have put on in attempting to attain relationship with another person. And that if we aren't able, and it's usually very difficult when you meet someone and you're wearing a mask, it's very hard to drop that mask all of a sudden and say, surprise, I was just trying to get your attention. Well, the harsh reality of that is the person will very likely turn around and go away. Because either they want you, the mask that you are presenting, or they don't know how to deal with the new person that you are saying, I was here under this mask and I thought I needed to use the mask to meet you, but now I'm going to put it down and here I am. They weren't prepared for that. So when we use a mask to try to meet someone, we use a mask to try to fulfill, a mask or an image, to try to fulfill our need for connection with another person, then we continue to use it. It is very hard to figure out when to drop this. We've all done this since we were children. And this is where this lecture integrates with the other lectures that I've been presenting for the past year or so. As you can probably hear, it integrates with the lecture on images. It obviously integrates with the lecture on love, eros, and sexuality. It integrates with the lecture on the function of the ego. And on and on. So what is part of this is I've talked about the spiritual symbolism of sexuality in terms of being the life force. In terms of the significance of sexuality, I know that most people who come to workshops on relationships or even sexuality are concerned about their lack of or dysfunction with something along their sexuality. And what the guide talks about here is that we need to go deeper than that. We need to go underneath that. That the dysfunction or lack of relationship that we have is the effect. And the cause, the deeper cause would be that we may not feel comfortable exposing ourselves to another person. Physically, we may not be comfortable with our body. We may not feel comfortable with our sexual desires and how we have decided they want to manifest. We may not feel comfortable with our emotions. We may not be comfortable with our mental. Let me give you some examples of that. Physically, and this, you've got to have a sense of humor about this because it's very true and it's very painful. And it is so painful that it's easier to just laugh a little bit about our human foibles than to treat them so deeply. Most people have some degree of physical issue about their physical bodies. Even people who have perfect bodies, actually they're worried about any imperfection within that perfection. So we can look at someone and say they're a perfect specimen. They're handsome. They're well built. Their muscles are toned. They're the right size and shape. But that person may actually feel that they are unable to relax and be themselves because they are fitting an image of what they ought to be. Now, the majority of us are a little pudgy in places we don't think we should be pudgy, or have a little bit too much hair or too little hair, or too much flesh or too little flesh, on and on and on. But in any area where you feel you are deficient, if you can imagine for a moment that you would just contract slightly in that area and not want it to be seen, readily seen by another person. In this way, you are hiding from the very experience of sexual fusion. On an emotional level, I feel a little silly sometimes on an emotional level. And because I teach spirituality and I've directed things and been supervising, I have some reputation of being a very serious and straightforward person. And then when the silly moments come around, it feels sometimes that there's no place for that, that I destroy people's image of who I am when I get goofy or relaxed or silly. Well, that's important. It's important for me to do that because I am not serious all the time, and I'm not teaching all the time, and I'm not good all the time. And everyone is like that. At an emotional level, in the places where you have feelings that you don't feel are appropriate, or you're embarrassed about, or you're holding back, or once again, if you're shrinking back from sharing that with someone, then you're not ready to do a true feeling exchange with that person because you have judged the value of your feelings. On a mental level, the thing that came to me was that you can have a very, you can feel very free about your physicality and you can feel very free about your emotions, but you may hold ideas that the other person may think are a little strange. And so you may have some reservations about sharing with them. Now, on a joke level, this is like being a secret Republican or Democrat when the other person isn't. It could also involve having an interest in something that the other person, you feel that the other person might consider to be silly or really out there or bizarre or have had a negative experience with. And if your truth is that you are very, very committed, for instance, to your religious beliefs, and you have had experiences of other people putting you down a bit because religion is on the out now and you should be more hip and cool and have a New Age thing instead of being a Methodist or a Catholic or whatever it is you are. If you hold back your ideas about God and theology, if you hold back your ideas of in the political arena about what you see and what you feel are solutions, if you hold back your ideas about where we are, where we're going, just because the other person may not agree with them, in that place you are also hiding from that person. And you will be unable to meet them and achieve fusion on that level. In terms of will, an example that the lecture spells out is that there are male-female components that are not gender-based per se. And I remember one of the things the guide said in this lecture is that when a woman becomes a mother, she takes on a great deal of the male aspect in caring for the child because it's a very active process. And the infant, be it male or female, is in a very receptive or feminine place for an extensive period of time. So on a will-ego level, okay, there are times when we may want to be receptive and we may feel that the other person would think that would be weak. So we might be more aggressive, attempting to hide the fact that that's not where we are. Again, you can see where you're not really being honest with the other person. That's not where you are. That's not who you are at that moment. And the fact that it's confusing or difficult to understand or perhaps even causes dissonance, That is something to be shared, examined, and supported rather than hidden. And on a spiritual level, if what you're after is fusion on all levels, and the other person does not want that, and you shy away from fusion in a misguided attempt to have fusion with that person, if they think I'm too holier than thou and too spiritual, they won't fuse with me, so I'll pretend that that's not what I am. Well, immediately, you are again in a mask, even though it may look like a spiritual mask at the time. So what I'm talking about here is how the personality can attempt to gain fusion through subterfuge, where we can try to reach another person and be with another person, but because there's a forcing in it or a contraction and hiding in it, we actually cripple ourselves and deny ourselves the very thing we want. So the last point I wanted to make in this is a beautiful phrase towards the end of the lecture. That what we're talking about here is gaining, talk about it for a second, that this lecture on sexuality is talking about fusion. Fusion on all layers of the personality, with the acknowledgement that we may be working on one or two layers at a time because of our human development, and that that is a task, and that we may need to work only on a few levels. We may not be able or it may not be our task to work on all five levels. It may be our task to become better at, for instance, the feeling exchange level. And that, I'm going to go digress with this for a second. If our spiritual task right now is to improve our ability for feeling exchange, we may engage in life activities that do not include sexuality. Not because we don't deserve it, we do. Not because it isn't good, because it is. We may engage in those activities, disengage in some activities because we need to specialize and gain, I'm going to call it expertise, but perhaps a better word is experience. We need to get better at feeling exchange. And in order to get better at feeling exchange, we may need to uncrowd the room. We may need to put some things aside for a while so that we can focus on feeling exchange. And even though that might be done in a non-sexual environment, if we can accomplish that task, if we can learn to be as honest as we can be on a feeling exchange level, we can then take those skills and go forward into other relationships and exercise fusion on an increasing number of levels. So what I'm speaking of here is, even though the point is fusion, you may need to get there like a sailboat by going in a different direction for a while and then coming back and forth and back and forth, practicing these skills, becoming better at these activities without the pressure of having to do everything at once. So let's call this harmonious fusion, meaning that right time, right place, this is exactly what your developmental task is. It's right in front of you, here it is, and it seems to be going well. If we term that harmonious fusion, I'll read a quote from the guide. Harmonious fusion builds up to a point of total fusion. Harmonious fusion builds up to a point of total fusion. One of the lectures that I gave a while back was number 143 on unity and duality. And the short version of that is that dualistic thinking is all or nothing thinking. And when we say, I don't have fusion, that may be true. But that's an all or nothing statement. I have it, I don't have it. The actual reality is that we all have some experiences of fusion. And the idea is to gain more and more of them, to integrate them, to build upon of our experiences, to use our strengths to support us while we work on our weaknesses. And this is what the guide is talking about, I believe, when he says, talks about harmonious fusion. And that is working towards a goal and accepting that we're not completely there yet. And that's how I define this quote. Harmonious fusion builds up to a point of total fusion. And when we speak in dualistic terms, we say, I want total fusion. Wonderful. And it is a process to get there. And part of that process is in seeing what you've got, seeing where you're strong, seeing where you're weak, looking at yourself, which is what the entire range of Patrick Lectures is about. How to look at yourself and discern and discover where you need to be working and what might be in your way. That when you are doing that, that is a form of fusion. You are getting to know yourself. You are becoming more at ease with your own needs, physically, emotionally, mentally. In terms of your ego has needs, and also your desire for self-actualization, which is spirit. So harmonious fusion builds up to a point of total fusion. And to continue, total fusion is the total fulfillment which the two movements have found in their culmination. This is again a universal phenomenon to be found in every creative act, whether this be the creation of a planetary system or the creation of a simple object or the unifying of two loving mates. This point of fusion, which you may call orgasm, is the total fulfillment. Now, I wanted to read that quote because I was quite struck by it. Whether this be the creation of a planetary system or the creation of a simple object. And this is where I draw my sense that just like sexuality meaning life force, total fusion can occur on any level of the universe under any circumstances from the microcosm of one atom fusing with another. And I don't know the terms for it, so I'm guessing at this, but when an entire galaxy does whatever it does to create a planet, when a star is created, that is a point of total fusion of molecules. And what the guide is saying is that all molecules have consciousness. Therefore, the simplest molecule can achieve total fusion. And that as this process builds up and the organism becomes more complicated, the fusion can get bigger and bigger and more impressive, but the important thing is that two molecules can have perfect fusion, total fusion. As human beings, we do not represent galaxies and planets, and we may not represent the entire of the spirit world. And yet, when two people can be with each other, in total acceptance and love, and experience this sense of total fusion. Both of them are reaching a level of self-actualization, of understanding of who they are on a very, very real level that can only increase their ability to share and be in the world and help others. And at some point, the entire species of humanity may be able to achieve a point of total fusion. So there may be a place where we can spiritually have an orgy of orgasm as we fuse totally and completely with each other. So, I don't see how you can get much more spacious or glorified than that. So I think I'm willing to rest it there. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, we'll take a break for half an hour, and I'll be back on the phone on the hour if you want to discuss off the record. Anyone have any questions at this point? Okay. Well, we'll call this the end, and I thank you very much for joining me. And if you'd like to join in half an hour with the same phone number and PIN, we won't be recording it, and we can go through perhaps more questions and answers on an individual level. So thanks very much for being with me today.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dan, good job.
Thank you.